How many of you have been looking at pictures of Pluto lately? Dwarf planet Pluto has been in the news lately. Elaine Londo, a writer of children's books, wrote, "Attempting to view Pluto from Earth is like trying to see a walnut from 30 miles away." The interplanetary space probe, New Horizons, was launched on January 19, 2006. Its mission was to take a look at the recently demoted planet, Pluto, and explore the Kuiper belt, an asteroid belt that surrounds our solar system beyond the planets. It took New Horizons 3,463 days, that's 9.5 years, to arrive at a Pluto flyby. They flew by at about 18,000 miles above the planet. 3 billion miles to get to this flyby. That's a long way. The pictures that are coming back are spectacular. It's just wonderful to see the detail of Pluto, and they're beginning to name some of the features and the mountains and the areas of interest on that dwarf planet. Some of the names for the features are emerging, including Mordor and Balrog from Tolkien's Lord of the Rings novels, along with other interesting kinds of names for different features. What a journey. Can you imagine being on that spaceship or that space probe and taking that journey through the solar system and beyond? I thought about that long journey because I think Psalm 107 takes us on a journey through the landscape and the system of ancient Israel. Actually, there are several journeys that are described in this Song of Israel's Faith, Psalm 107. This Psalm of Thanksgiving offers an opportunity for persons who have been involved in life-threatening dangers to offer thanks for their deliverance and for being saved. Their circumstances are varied. Someone is lost on a caravan journey, wandering in the desert, thirsty and hungry, and finally finds their way to a city. The incarcerated prisoner doing hard times cries out to the Lord and is delivered, freed to begin a new life. Someone who has been sick and has lost all desire for sustenance and is wasting away has their disease healed, and they find a new appetite for life. Sailors on a ship at sea in a hurricane are sure they will be shipwrecked and lost. They're without hope. They're at the mercy of the powerful forces of wind and water. God, who created the storm, stills the storm and calms the watery chaos. The sailors and the ship make it to port. Psalm 107 has this extensive description of sailors at sea, and it's often referred to as the sailor's psalm. All of those who have survived these near-death experiences from the north, south, east, and west are invited to give thanks and share their experience in the congregation of God. God's people celebrate redemption and salvation, the experience of healing, entering the calm after the storm, and their release from trouble. The Hebrew word translated as trouble in verse 2 literally means a tight, restrictive place, kind of like being boxed in without many options. Woven through this psalm and others are expressions of God's commitment, God's covenant, God's love and faithfulness, the story of God's lasting love. Give thanks to the Lord of goodness, for God is lasting love. Let those saved by God tell their story, how the Lord snatched them from the oppressor's might, gathering them from east and west, from north and south. Sharing experiences of God's lasting love is an important discipline for any community, especially the church. God's people are strengthened by these stories, we are encouraged, and our hope is renewed. As I was reading this psalm and thinking about Mennonite Disaster Service with Jeff Collar here, you hear many stories from these folks about how, especially when they've been helped, how their lives have been restored and changed by the experience of God's people coming and helping them and restoring their lives. The phrase, "those God gathered from east and west, north and south," is another way of saying everybody. Everyone is included here. The language of Psalm 107 is meant to be a universal song of thanksgiving. Everyone is able to find a stanza of thanksgiving in this Hebrew song. We are all survivors. Have I ever been lost? Have I ever been sick? Have the storms of life rocked my boat? Have I ever been in a tight place? I'm sure all of us could answer affirmative to one of those situations at one place or another in their lives. But these stories of survival in Psalm 107 are more than just individual rescues. As a collective people, Israel wandered in the desert with Moses, looking for the promised land. As a people, they found themselves in tight places, surrounded by hostile nations. As a nation and as a people, they experienced defeat and captivity. This song of thanksgiving helps them to remember together their journey as a people. They were freed from slavery in Egypt. They wandered in the desert. They were led to a land flowing with milk and honey. They gained stature and power as a nation with strong kings. They experienced corruption and division. They were defeated and exiled in foreign lands and overwhelmed by their experience, flooded with guilt and confusion. But through it all, they were able to discern the leading of God and they were able to offer thanks and praise for God's lasting love as they gathered up the stories of their tradition and learned from each other. We need a story to live by. We need a story to die by. What is your story? Does your story have a chapter about God's lasting love? Especially in the midst of trouble, especially when there is injustice, especially when we did not deserve it. Sometimes we can be blind to God's lasting love, and it takes a significant jolt to wake us up, to open our eyes to the ways that we limit God's love. The recent shooting of 9 people at prayer in Charleston, South Carolina, has given us a glimpse of how the stories we live and die by can be full of entrenched fear and hatred, or be a pathway to God's lasting love. Who writes the stories that guide our dying and our living? What are the narratives we turn to for lessons about the human journey and assurance of God's lasting love? Recently here in Texas, there was a controversy over the approval of school history textbooks that left out mention of slavery, left out mention of climate change, and left out the 44th president, among other things. We understand that it's important as a people to have a shared sense of history and identity. That's kind of the purpose of the stories. The question is, whose history? Whose identity? White European colonizers? The indigenous people? Women, African Americans? Do we learn simply from the history of military heroes? The lessons of peacemakers? Or do we learn the lessons of the exiled, those more on the margin? Perhaps none of it matters. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. God's people must not choose to live by stories that put them in a tight place. As people of faith and spirit, we are called to launch our fears and our hopes and our dreams and yearnings beyond ourselves, deep into the unknown, into the mystery of God. We cry out and search for meaning in our struggle. We who are in deep trouble know that we cannot save ourselves and must finally trust in something greater in the end. For Christians, the culminating story that we live and die by is the good news of Jesus of Nazareth. This child of God lived with a deep trust of one who was one with God, a reality that cannot be held very tightly, because ultimately it's a mystery. This child of God heard the cry of the hungry and the thirsty and responded with bread and wine and more. This child of God, this Jesus, healed the sick, calmed the seas, and preached peace to a people whose homeland was occupied by foreign troops. Can we do less? And in the end, this child of God, this Jesus, entrusted his living and his dying to the love of God and became the fulfillment and expression of God's lasting love. We are called to embody the lasting love of God in the way of Jesus. Amen.